Welcome for everyone to tonight's a special core volunteer training, the brand new Household Impact Study. The 2020 version is now done, revealing exciting financial benefits for American households under the Energy Innovation Act. Rick Knight, our CCL research coordinator, will take you through the researcher in charge of that, Kevin Ummel's top level findings, and how it improves on the original 2016 study. With that, I will introduce Rick and then he'll take it away. So Rick is CCL's research coordinator and covers science and policy issues. He's also a co-state coordinator for the state of Illinois and group leader for CCL Brookfield. Before joining CCL, Rick spent 40 years conducting and managing cutting-edge energy and pollution research and development at a nonprofit lab near Chicago. Rick started volunteering with CCL in 2011, eventually weaseled his way onto the staff, and has a BS in chemistry from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and also studied chemical engineering at the Illinois Institute of Technology. We are so grateful that you are on the line, Rick.
Thanks, Brett. This is a research department project that was commissioned by CCL to data scientist Kevin Ummel. First of all, let me explain the purpose of the study. We know that the Energy Innovation Act levies a carbon fee, coal, oil, and gas, which is paid into a carbon dividend trust fund. And naturally, the buyers of these fuels, the utilities, the refiners, and all kinds of manufacturers, will be charged more for that energy. And they will pass along at least part of those costs to their customers, who are American households. So then, under this policy, the cycle is closed by paying carbon dividends to households. This poses the question, how does this work out for people? And that's what this study aims to answer. Now, this was first addressed in 2015 when we hired Kevin Ummel to do this kind of analysis, and it was published in 2016. But since then, a lot has changed and a lot more has been learned about the nuts and bolts of such a policy. So next, I'll show you how the old study differs from the 2016 study. First of all, in 2016, there was no actual bill, so the study was based on CCL's carbon fee and dividend proposal. In the 2020 study, which was just finished at the beginning of July this year, is based on the Energy Innovation Carbon Dividend Act, which differs in some important ways from the old CFND proposal. The old study assumed 100% pass-through of costs from fossil fuel producers all the way down to consumers. But the new study considered new research showing that pass-through is not likely to be 100%, but could be as low as 35% in some sectors, and generally around 70% overall, so much lower even than 70% for some consumer sectors. Now, this study analyzed 70 to 100% pass-through, and working with the author, we arrived at a consensus baseline of 85%. The 2016 study presented how the results broke down across the wealth spectrum in terms of household income, as reported to the IRS. But for the new study, Mr. Ummel showed that the household economic status is more accurately based on consumption rather than income. In other words, what a household spends. And I'll explain that further. Finally, the 2016 paper was based on emissions and economic data from the period of 2008 to 2012. But on the other hand, the new study uses the most recent available emissions and economic data in the range of 2017 to 2019. And that again makes a pretty big difference. So now on to the findings of the new study. I'll start with the economic status breakdown, which arranges households into quintiles, each of which is 1/5 of the population, ranked by consumption. It's just a fancy word, as I said, for household spending on goods and services. Now, first of all, direct energy costs are affected by the carbon fee. That means gasoline, electricity, and whatever fuel people use for heating and cooking. It could be natural gas, it could be propane, could be electricity, in which case it's still direct energy. So this is the amount that the average household would see as a pass-through from the carbon fee in the first year of the policy. Just for context, the household income for an average size household in quintile one is about $30,000. In quintile two, it's $52,000. In quintile three, $70,000. Quintile four is about $93,000. And in the top quintile, $159,000. Now next, here's indirect energy costs. That means all the other products we buy that use energy in their manufacture or their production. This means this is how much an average household will pay in additional costs for all that stuff they buy, goods and services. And finally, financial asset costs. This represents that 15% of carbon fee that is not passed down to consumers, but is passed backwards or assumed by businesses rather than passed down in prices. And it hits the fossil energy investments that are buried in people's stock portfolios or bank accounts. And as you can see, the wealthier households who have a lot more of these investments tend to be more affected by it. So those are the costs, and these numbers at the top of each stack is the total when you add all those costs up of the carbon fee in that first year. Now, here are the dividends that you get back. You can see how this plays out. Households in the bottom 20% do very well, about $240 more in dividends than their total cost in that first year. The second and third quintile also come out ahead, and even the fourth quintile more or less breaks even. It's those big energy users at the top who, for the most part, end up behind. But there's an important point about that. Compared to their total income, this gap at the top only amounts to less than 0.5% of their income. In most cases, not even 0.2%. So it's not as punitive as it might look. And also consider there's nothing to stop a wealthy family from cutting their costs by investing in solar panels or electric vehicles, or by even divesting their portfolios from fossil fuels. All of those things that help the climate. What percent of households come out ahead in each quintile? Well, I'm glad you asked, because this slide shows it. Overall, 61% of households come out ahead. Another 24% experience only a minor loss, which means less than 0.2% of their income. In the bottom quintile, families with the least means to weather economic hits, 96% come out ahead, and only 2% even have a slight loss. And even at the top, as I said before, more than half experience either a gain or an insignificant loss compared to their income. And there are plenty of ways to turn a loss into a gain, given the clean energy opportunities that will emerge. Another way that Kevin Ummel presented these results was a breakdown by age. It shows that gains are concentrated in the youngest and the oldest households. This reflects the fact that the youngest families tend to be larger, including kids, and earlier in their earnings growth, while the oldest households, due to fixed retirement incomes and lower mobility, tend to spend less money. And of course, middle age is where careers are in their prime and consumption is highest. But even there, a majority still come out ahead. Here's another chart that addresses a common misconception among critics of carbon pricing that rural households will be hard hit because they have to drive longer distances. But in reality, there is very little difference between rural, suburban, small town, and urban communities as far as how they do with dividends versus costs. Longer travel distances in rural areas are offset by other factors, such as lower energy and commodity prices. Now, of course, district level results depend on the community composition. So for example, a purely urban district may show big differences between these area types because so few residents fit into these other categories. And you'll see why that matters a little bit later. Here's how the results break down according to race or ethnicity, using the standard federal census categories of Asian, Black, Latino, multiracial, other, and white. As you can see, people of color benefit in larger proportion than white households. These effects are due to the generally low economic status and larger younger families among non-white households, taken as a group overall. These outcomes are inherent in the policy design, with no need for complicated or costly means testing or targeting benefits in ways that could be highly contentious politically. And the last of the green bar charts that I'll show you focuses on various kinds of households that are of interest to certain legislators or groups because they're considered most vulnerable to economic burden. This looks at families below the poverty line, low income, which means twice the federal poverty line, minorities as a whole, families of four, older adults, and single parent households. The results show that a majority of people in groups flagged as most vulnerable have a net gain. Families in poverty and low income are the most benefited. Only older adults, which means households with no children, where at least one member of the household is over 65, fail to show gains in more than 70% of cases. And that's because there's a significant fraction of older folks who are actually quite well off. But even then, a majority still come out ahead. So now you may be wondering where you can find all this information and how to make use of it. I'm so glad you asked, because we've made it available to you, starting with our public website, citizensclimatelobby.org. If you go to the homepage and you click on Our Climate Solution, you'll see an entry there in the drop-down menu that says Price on Pollution Studies. If you scroll down, it says 2020 Household Impact Study. How will the price on pollution impact individual households? This study examines household impacts across economic and demographic factors, conducted by Kevin Ummel in 2020. On that page, you'll find a lot of the information I've shown you today, plus a very comprehensive frequently asked questions section where you can open each question and look at me the answer. And you can also download any one of these three documents, including a short two-page summary, the full report by Kevin Ummel, and a PDF copy of that online FAQ. But that's not all. There will also be a collection of two-page handouts for every state and every congressional district that show some of those bar charts for that particular jurisdiction. These will be PDF documents that you can download from a CCL Google Drive. It's a really impressive leave behind for any lobby visit with your representative or senator. As of today, August 25th, those are still under construction, but they'll be available through community if you go to the resources page and look under studies and reports for the 2020 Household Impact Study. There'll also be updates to our laser talks regarding that study. And some of the new findings will be incorporated in older laser talks. And most of this is still in the works, but we hope to have them all updated by the end of the week. And finally, the personal carbon dividend calculator located on the Energy Innovation Act website will have been updated to be in complete agreement with the findings of the 2020 study. And that will be located on the How It Works page on that website. So how does this help us move the ball forward? It strengthens our advocacy by providing proof that the policy we've thrown all our weight behind really is good for people. Climate impacts and even pollution impacts, which Jerry will be talking about right after me, and the policy protects poor and vulnerable households from having to bear an undue burden while we set the gears in motion to transform our energy systems. It gives you access to detailed demographic analysis when that information is requested by legislators or by potential endorsers or by anyone who has a need to know. And finally, it explains the reasons for our confidence that this policy is both fair and progressive from an economic standpoint. It's not just our assertions at play here, but here's the evidence to back them up.
Well, on that note, I know that I speak for everyone on the line here. Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you so much, Jerry. both of your work and just the larger team that really made this analysis possible to get in front of us is very much appreciated. So with that, it's just so wonderful to see everyone's faces tonight. I'm going to unmute all lines, and we wish you all well. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for
joining. Thanks, all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.